So are you ready? Everybody ready? Hi! Woo! This is a big room. I like it. Looks like a club, I think, you know. Start some music and dance. So welcome. How's the conference going so far? You guys having fun at Tech Days? Learning a lot of stuff? Cool. My name is Beth Massey. I work for Microsoft. I'm on the Visual Studio team. I'm on the team called Cloud Platform Tools, and we build all kinds of tooling inside of Visual Studio for building business applications. And you might have heard of some of the things we do, like Office and SharePoint tooling, Azure tools, and Visual Studio Lightswitch is all part of our team. So today I'm going to talk to you about building cloud-based services. So I'm hoping the internet is happy today because we're going to do some Azure stuff. But I'm going to talk to you more about how Lightswitch, you can use Lightswitch to create these data services and consume them as well. And so I'm going to kind of talk to you about how to create a middle tier, a smart middle tier, and deploy that as a service to Azure. And then we'll take a look at a bunch of different clients that can access the service. Okay. So let's get started. So, does anybody not know what OData is? No. Okay. Good. So it's basically a standardized protocol for talking with data sources over the web. Okay. It's a RESTful protocol. It's been around for a few years. It's standard. If you go to odata.org, there's a lot of there's a lot of information about the protocol and how it works. You can think of it as just a way to query and to manipulate data over the web in a standard way. Okay, so there's a bunch of URI conventions and that translate to basically query expressions to manipulate data. There's an ecosystem here. There's a bunch of examples of consumers that can consume OData. One of my favorites is actually Excel can consume OData. There's a lot of products at Microsoft that expose OData, like SharePoint, for instance, is a good example. So it's kind of built into a lot of the products that Microsoft has, as well as other companies like IBM. And so it's really an open standard. It's not a Microsoft-specific technology, although we did start it. So the other thing is the libraries. There's a bunch of different types of libraries for creating the services themselves. So we're going to actually talk about .NET in the context of .NET today. But you look at the client libraries as well. So there's a bunch of different client libraries that you can use to help you talk to any kind of OData service that's out there. We're going to use iOS, Android, that sort of thing. We're going to do a couple different things. We're going to do a .NET client. I'm actually going to show a Windows 8 client if we have some time at the end, too. And we'll also create an HTML client. Okay, but keep in mind that there's a lot of other types of SDKs available for you. Okay, so once you create an open data service, you have a lot of flexibility on what type of clients you want to build. Okay, so that's OData. Who has never heard of let me talk about this in a sec. I'll talk about Lightswitch in a minute. So OData services in Azure, I just want to point out, cloud services and websites are the two different types of Azure services that you can have host your services in, two different types of areas you can host in. So cloud services are kind of like the entire platform as a service. It really gives you that N-tier, infinitely scalable set of it's a platform. It's a set of services like caching and BI and analytics and a lot of other really rich features that the platform provides. Websites you can think of as kind of a smaller subset. It can still scale, but it's really just about websites, which you can host services inside of websites today. Inside of IIS, you can host a service. But you can think of them as just easier to set up, free. It's not like an entire VM. It's just like an area somewhere in the cloud on a shared IIS box. So it's really appropriate for, you know, smaller scale, but not necessarily needing all of the entire platform services that cloud services provide. So Lightswitch can deploy to either type of service up there. And I just wanted to mention the Windows Azure Marketplace is actually a place where you can go and grab thousands of different types of data sets, and they're all exposed as OData services. You could actually even, if you have like some data that you think people would buy, you could provide, you could be a producer, and you can make money, you know, basically per transaction or per month, people like needing your data, basically enhancing their applications with the data that you have. So you can go to the marketplace and you can take, there's a lot of free data sets as well there, so you can take a look and browse through that stuff. So who's never heard of LightSwitch before? Okay, a couple folks. Who's never used LightSwitch before? Okay, most of the folks in the room. Okay, so let me just talk about LightSwitch. Anybody who's been in my class yesterday? Okay, there's going to be a little repeat here if you kind of get the flow. You probably have memorized some of these slides by now. So LightSwitch is really, you can just think of it as a development environment inside of Visual Studio, and it's really targeted at building data-centric business applications extremely fast. Okay, so it's a design experience, it's an entire environment, it's a runtime. Okay, so what LightSwitch is really doing for you is it's writing all the boring code that, you know, you repetitive code that you probably write accessing data and data sources. So all that CRUD stuff LightSwitch does for you. Okay, so that basically the only code you're writing in the end of the day is the business logic. Okay, is the actual value of your application. So LightSwitch also has a really flexible deployment model. So you can, even you're always logically building an end-tier application, but you can physically deploy it in different ways. So you can actually deploy it as a two-tier app. So you would have Windows clients talking directly to a database. Or you can, and as you know, your needs grow, the business grows, you need to scale. You don't require any code changes, and you can go ahead and say, split that up and deploy it onto your own web server, or you can even deploy into Azure. Okay, so there's kind of like this flexible deployment model, and there's an easy publisher to kind of, you know, target different things. We're actually also adding the ability in this latest version of LightSwitch, version 3, that's in preview right now. We're allowing the ability to actually deploy into SharePoint as well in Office 365. So that's another way of kind of moving the scale, like the knob, as you get more users. Okay, so LightSwitch is kind of targeted in three areas, the sweet spots we call it. Like what would you use LightSwitch for? Okay, you would use LightSwitch for, and if you have a need for mobile web business apps where you have a lot of different types of devices there in the enterprise, and you need to provide that data on any device. So we have optimized our HTML client for touch-centric devices on multiple platforms. So it's an HTML5 JavaScript-based client. We also, the very first version of LightSwitch was released with the desktop business apps. That was its main target. So now you'll see some more different types of clients we're building out. But the desktop business apps still very, you know, fundamental to business applications. Heavy duty, you know, mouse and keyboard scenarios where you're entering data and manipulating data. So there's a rich client, a desktop business app. This also allows you the access to Calm if you need to talk to other, you know, systems that way on the desktop. And then there's Office 365 with the provider hosting. You can create applications and deploy them into Office 365 so that they're inside of SharePoint. They're working with SharePoint assets with its data. Any SharePoint developers in the house here? No, I had a bunch of them yesterday. A couple, okay. There was a couple yesterday, and I think they were blown away by how easy some of this stuff is, because SharePoint just in general is not really an easy way of developing stuff sometimes. So we're making that kind of easy to do. Okay, so we're going to focus on the services side of stuff, but you'll see we'll do a desktop and a mobile app, because these clients always work against the same set of services in LightSwitch. Okay, so when we what I'm going to show you today, I will be very clear on what's in what. So when you have Visual Studio 2012, you actually have LightSwitch in there. Okay, you have LightSwitch in its second version, which includes just the one desktop app client side, but we made a lot of investments in the middle tier. So just at RTM, Visual Studio 2012 RTM, you're going to get all the service stuff I'm going to show today. Now, when it comes to the Office 365, SharePoint, and the HTML client, that's in the CTP4 that was released on Monday. Okay, so it's very imminent release, okay, but it's still in preview. Okay, very close to RTMing that. All right, so the design goals for 2012 were actually fairly lofty. So if you take a look at the history of the LightSwitch, you know, releases, we actually released in 2011. July 2011 was the first version of LightSwitch we released. And so it was its own SKU, its own edition, Visual Studio Light Switch, because we had 2010 Visual Studio, and then we had Light Switch released. Then we had a very short window between July 2011 and August 2012, when Visual Studio 2012 released, to get a bunch of features into the version 2. One of those things, one of those big features, is to open up the services. And so what we did is we basically replaced the middle tier, okay, RIA services, with OData services. So now LightSwitch, because LightSwitch is really all about data in the end of the day, and so it made a lot of sense for us to open up the middle tier and make it an open data protocol. Okay, so that's, LightSwitch not only can consume OData sources, but it actually just produces the OData sources automatically as you're modeling the data. So you don't really need to think about it. Okay. We also did a bunch of other work, you know, around, you know, making it easier to work with some of the types of databases out there that don't say have relationships defined inside the database. So, so it's easier to work with legacy databases. And we made some more changes based on customer feedback. But the one thing is the service layer that we really worked hard on. So the LightSwitch architecture. Okay. So we have. And like I mentioned, you're always developing an end-tier application when you're in LightSwitch. Even though we kind of abstract that away from you, you don't really have to know that we're doing that. This isn't the end of the day what you're building. So we have a client tier, the middle tier, and data access layer. The client tier, like I mentioned before, you can have a desktop app or you can have the mobile apps. So you have an option there. So the middle tier is just your ASP.NET IIS. Okay, so it's just like a web host. Okay, so any kind of data services can be hosted here. That's what we're using here as the layer between the marshaling layer, basically. So this then has the concept of light switch concepts on top is this data workspace, and this is the thing that's kind of moving the data in the right packages. For instance, order and order details need to be in a transaction, and so that's inside the data workspace. Then we have a concept of a submit pipeline and a query pipeline, so you can do all sorts of business processing, validation rules, access control, security, authorization, that kind of stuff. It's all part of the development experience within LightSwitch. And so when you're creating this middle tier, you obviously are going to probably write some complex business rules and workflows and that kind of stuff. So when you're doing that, at the end of the day, you're just creating a data service, a smart data service. So data access, this is just the data access layer we're using Entity Framework 4 or 5 to access data sources. So you have any provider, Entity Framework 4 provider on you, you can access a database. But out of the box, you have SQL Server, so that includes SQL Azure as well. SharePoint can be a data source, as well as other OData services. You can consume OData services as well. Okay. So because we can consume OData services, like, why would you want to do that? Okay, so a lot of times in businesses, especially like business-to-business systems, you need to be able to talk to each other, these systems. Well, traditionally, you would, create a contract and you create a web service and you would agree on how to communicate, and I'd be like, I need these parameters and I give you this result set, and that's fine. So you would read, read a document or read the, WSDL and just do that. But what that requires is custom coding. So you're creating those methods, right? And you're doing that yourself, which is still, it's not like the OData replaces that, but you don't need to do that for get customer by ID, get customer by name, all these methods that you probably were writing that were just plain old gets or updates. OData helps you do this. Okay, through a standard protocol. So when you're consuming OData sources, it makes a lot of sense if you're trying to just, I just need to, update some data over here, through this data service. The data service itself isolates you from all the database details, just like any other service would, but now you're not sitting there writing every single method yourself. Okay, so I really enjoy using OData because it's really like a quick and easy way for you to just expose a data source how you want. You don't have to expose it like to, update kind of thing. You can just do like, say, a read-only service. You have all that kind of control, but you don't have to write all the methods yourself. Okay, so LightSwitch creates those OData endpoints for you automatically. So like I mentioned, as you're modeling data sources, as you're pulling in, you know, your SharePoint data sources or your database data sources, or you're creating data within Lightswitch, behind the scenes, it's just service endpoints that are just materializing, okay? And you don't really need to think about it. So we actually, because of that, we actually figured that you might want to just deploy the service from Lightswitch. So even though Lightswitch, you know, you're probably going to have a client in, with a Lightswitch application, you don't have to. Okay, you don't have to deploy it. You can just use Lightswitch as just a middle tier, way to build a middle tier. Okay, so it's all going to, for those of you who haven't seen Lightswitch, it'll all come clear when I start to model the data. But you can kind of picture it like this. So Lightswitch can aggregate multiple data sources, and you can create virtual relationships between all of them. As you suck in the data sources, Lightswitch is automatically creating these service endpoints for each of the data sources that you're attaching to. Then the clients, the Lightswitch clients, whether that's the HTML client or the desktop, it will communicate with the OData service in the exact same way. And then that means that you can write your own other OData clients, right, using any of those libraries I kind of showed in the beginning. So it, you're going to do this basically the same endpoints that Lightswitch uses you would use if you needed a custom client. And so what this ends up doing is, like, your rules pipeline and all your validation and everything is written on the server, and it, you know, you don't have to rewrite all of those business rules every time you want to create a new client. Okay, so it's just an end-tier design, but it's happening automatically for you when you're building that middle tier. So you can think of the project, if you look at it in the project system, Lightswitch has a logical view of its project system. This is a logical view of your data sources, and then you have your, you know, each one aggregated underneath. So in this case, I've got two data sources. My application data happens to be the data that I model within Lightswitch. It's called the intrinsic database. And then I have, I'm basically in this example, I've got crime data as a secondary data source. So I end up with two service endpoints. And the way that we navigate the entities with inside the service endpoints, we just use REST. So we've got this slash appointments will give me the appointment entity. Okay, all the appointments basically in the database table at the end of the day. Okay, so it's basically the URI conventions, they're basically like translating queries into RESTful URLs. Sorry, my mind is, I'm jet lagged a little bit. So when we expose all of the data sources, when we expose the data sources for you in Lightswitch, we actually have a full range of query operations that we allow. So like filtering and sorting and take one and skips and so that kind of stuff. We're actually like implementing the full range of query operations. Okay, so let's go ahead and stop talking about our slides. Let's actually jump into a demo. So what I'm going to do is let's open up Visual Studio, okay, and let's create a new project. Okay, and I'm just going to create, you know, a Lightswitch application, just plain old basic Lightswitch application. I have the CTP installed, so you're seeing different templates here. If you just have Visual Studio 2012, you'll have these two. Okay, so that's fine. That's enough to start the service. So I'm going to show you the data designer, because you spend a lot of time in the data designer in Lightswitch, and Lightswitch is really like all about data. So I'm going to just create a new table. Let's actually look at this. Okay. I'm going to create a new table. And let's just call this company. And let's see, you know, they have a name. That's enough. And, you know, well, I don't know, name and website. Let's do something like that. So Lightswitch has a concept. I know a website URL would be a string, started as a string in a database. We have concepts of what's called a business types. And so it comes with validation and, you know, depends on the controls that want to display for free. You don't have to write that validation yourself. All right, let's uncheck that. And maybe we have a, you know, logo. We make that an image. Okay, we've got percent and money and all those kinds of concepts. And actually, that's an extensibility point, by the way. You can write your own. You know, if you have your own business types. Okay, so I'm going to do, phone number. This is another one. Probably want to contact. Actually, I'll just do phone. And we actually have a phone number type. Okay. Okay, so let's create another table. We'll just call it like positions. So we'll do like a job recs, that kind of thing. So Okay, and let's see, the job title is a string. And let's do minimum pay rate, min pay rate. We'll do money, max pay rate. Okay, so that's some more business types. All right, so then we're modeling data, so we want to have a relationship. A company can have many positions open. So company to position. Okay, so this is just the adding a relationship here. Okay, let's just start this. Let's run it. Actually, let's add a screen. Let's put some data in it. So add a screen. Let's just do a list in details, companies, and we'll add the positions there. Okay, and one thing I want to do is just change the application type from desktop to web. Okay, so all I did was model some data. Let's add some data. Okay, got a new company. We got the name is, how about Microsoft? I've heard of it before. Okay, I don't know if I have a logo, but Microsoft logo, let's see. I should. A good employee should have a logo, right? Let's see, building cloud apps, and some images. I got a bunch of images. I don't really have, I got Northwind and Contoso here. Just use the Northwind. And then phone number, we get the validation and all that kind of thing for free. So I actually think I know the number of the switchboard is 425. I kind of forget, actually. 1-800 something, I don't know. It's 8080, but I don't remember the first three, but anyways. Okay, and let's add a job. .NET developer, because we need a lot of those. Okay, minimum pay rate, we'll give you $50,000, because we know we like you, and $100,000. Cool. All right, we've got a job, and we've got a company in there. Let's add just one more company, just so when we, add, so when we see the data service, it looks a little better. Contoso, and we'll just add a logo. There we go. All right. Okay, so here we go. You notice I'm running here in IIS Express, so let me just take this part of the URL, and what we end up here, application data.svc. Okay, so that's the data service, right? So I just modeled data in LightSwitch, and this is the data service. This is the endpoint that's exposed. So if I wanted to look at those companies I just added, okay, that's the way you address it. Okay, so this is all the companies. Now by default it's coming down as a feed. You could also, it also will respond as a JSON if you need. Okay, so if I want the first company, there's just the one. Okay, if I wanted the first company's positions, there they are. Okay, so the way that you navigate through an OData service is you take a look here, you'll see the relation, the relative URL to that entity. Company one, positions, those are all the positions. So if I had additional tables that were related, you'd see additional entries right here. And so that's how you can use OData to kind of navigate around. Okay, so if you want, we can take a look in Fiddler. Okay, so for a minute, I don't know what I've got. So if we go back to our application, running here, and say I do a refresh. Okay, are we running? Yeah. Oops, the refresh, okay, I should have done that. But let me clear some of this stuff out of here. Remove all sessions. All right, let's try this again. I kind of want to just restart the app. It would be good. Here, let's make this, make sure this is working. Oh, it's not capturing all processes. It's not working. Fiddler, my friend. Okay. Fiddler, my friend, come on. It's not capturing, I don't know what happened. Why is it not capturing the traffic? I was just doing this. All right, any fiddler experts out there? This should work. Is it F12? I guess. Well, I have Firefox. Yeah, sure, I have Firefox. Firefox is fine with me. Yeah, it's just gonna work. It's there. That's fine. Firefox is fine. I don't. Yeah, it might. It's a little setting that I didn't do, anyways. All right. So here's the. Sorry. The XML. Here we go. So here's the XML that's returned. Okay. So this is the feed that's returned. Okay. After I went in there. So and if we take a look at the companies. All right. Say a query. Well, oops. Say we'll just do a query. Oh, just give me the first company. Yeah, it's like that's the only thing is Firefox is kind of like, okay, what did you want me to display that or what? Just open it with yourself. See, that's what. All right, fine. Oh, Notepad. Fine. Great. Awesome. That works. Here, they are all coming. All right, so there's a logo in there, and so here's all the binary data and that sort of thing. I kind of like looking at it. Fiddler is a little bit easier to kind of deal with. So here's the companies coming down. Okay, so there they are. Okay, there's your binary logo and all that. Okay, so it's just, this is all OData. This is all the standard protocol. And honestly, you know, I normally don't work with OData via, you know, a browser. I mean, the browser is not a good client, okay? So the idea, though, is that the application itself is using it, right? Okay, so here. Okay, so now, let's kind of back up and, so I mean, that's kind of pretty easy to kind of just create a service through Lightswitch. It really is just happening automatically. So let's flip over to an application that I've already kind of built out a little bit more, okay? So I've got the schema built out a bit more. So we've got a recruiting system, so recruiters use this system to track companies and their positions and also candidates for the jobs. Okay, so it's very similar to what we were starting to build out. Now, what I want to do here is, well, let's actually walk through it just a quick minute. I actually have data in here too, so. Okay, so I've got a couple jobs in here. I've got the .NET developer, I've got a Lightswitch developer, and I've got a bunch of candidates that could fit these positions in the system here. Okay, so if we take a look at just viewing the candidates. Okay, so we've got a bunch of different people in here, and they've got, you know, skills. Well, this person doesn't have any skills, but they would have skills. They should have some skills. We can add a skill. Maybe they have .NET, and they have, like, you know, 2 years experience or something like that. Okay, so the thing with this, though, the thing about this app, what we really want to do is, what if we're not getting enough resumes and our recruiters really need to go reach out and find experts? And so we actually have this service running. Okay, so we want to kind of utilize another business's system, for instance. So I've got a service running here, experts. Let's open it up in a new tab. And that's fine. That's okay. It's called Expert Data, SVC. Okay, so here's the OData service. We've got some experts in here. At least they're self-proclaimed experts, but, you know, they have matching skills. And so what we want to do is we kind of want to consume this data to enhance the application. So if Azure is happy, we'll get some experts. They have pictures, too, so a lot of data. Hopefully I'm not going over my bandwidth there. Azure won't shut me down. All right, so we have a bunch of experts. Okay, so what I want to do is I want to take this and consume it inside of Lightswitch. So let's go back to our app. Let's close that down. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to add a new data source. Okay, and it's going to be an OData service. Okay. Now, by default, Lightswitch will assume you want to attach as read-only to an external service. It'll just assume that. And in this case, that's exactly what I want to do. But if you had an updatable service, you could actually do updates against it as well. All right. I don't need to have any special authentication in this case. But if you did, you would enter it here. Okay, so here are all the entities. I want to actually just bring them all in, all the experts, their domains. Domain is going to map to our skills. Domain just means they're a domain expert in .NET or something like that. They have positions and publications. Okay, so it's now we have the two data sources. So now we have two service endpoints. So if what's going on is we have an OData service, we're consuming it. Now we can write business logic around that, and then Lightswitch will re-expose the service. And so now it's a new service. It's kind of like chaining service together. Okay, so but the application data is actually the intrinsic database. Okay, so these endpoints are very, you know, mysterious, but that's good. It's the client consuming it doesn't care what the end of the day, what the actual data source is, right? Okay, so the only thing I need to do now is I need to relate these data sources together somehow. So a domain, I know, maps to a skill, okay, over here. So really what we want to do is we want to add a relationship between the domain and the skill. And it's actually a one-to-one relationship, okay? So domain, there may or may not be a matching domain for our skills, which is fine. We just won't see anything. But if they do match, that's where I want to get the experts for that skill I'm looking for. Now, I just need to find a shared property between both of these. And so we have a name, and we have a skill name, okay? So those are what matches the one-to-one relationship. Okay, so that's a dotted line. You can see that that's the virtual relationship that Lightswitch has created. Okay, so now what I want to do is I want to visualize. I want to see the data. So we're going to need to add a screen. Let's add a screen for the skills. Add a detail screen for our skill. Okay. And when I do that, we'll see there's our domain. So there's a domain and a skill. I don't need the row version. It's just coming from the service. So we'll see that one-to-one mapping. What I really want to do is I want to get at these experts, though. So here's the relationship, right? You have this domain, and you have many experts that are part of this domain, like many .NET experts or many Java experts. I don't know how many Java experts are left, but they're around. So that was a joke, and someone laughed. Okay, so let's go back over here. All right, so we've got the skill detail screen. What I want to do is I'm just going to add this data item. I'm going to add a query, okay, the domain, single or default. I want to get the one domain because I want to be able to get its related experts. So I'm going to add that. The only thing is I need to kind of map this. So let's go into the properties. Okay, so the domain here is the domain ID here is the skill, yeah, skill dot domain, right, dot ID. Okay. All right. Hopefully that works. Now that I've done that, hopefully you'll see this line, see this maps into it, and now I can just add the experts. So I got experts in our view model now. I can move it over right onto the screen, put it somewhere. Looks good. And I'll just make this read-only controls. I don't need to see this. And then what I want to do is, as I see the experts that match the skill, I want to be able to drill into the experts. So I'm going to just make this last name property, show it as a link. And that means the light switch will generate a screen that looks like the shape of an expert. Okay, so because it knows the shape of our data here. Except that I also want to show some additional data on the screen, so I'm going to create my own screen. I'm going to create a detail screen for the expert, okay? And I'm going to include the related children in this case. All right, so let's make sure I did all that correctly, because sometimes if I don't, things will blow up. All right, that looks good. All right. Okay, so we got to go to our skills. Remember, I added a skill detail. So to open the skill, the new screen, we got to let's do this. I'm going to go and just change this skill to show that as a link. Okay. All right. Now we can open up .NET. So there's the map. There's the .NET, and now it's pulling down from the service the related experts. Here they are. Okay? So they're the experts. All right, and I don't know, there should be photo. There's not a lot of photos. I didn't change the photos not coming through because I didn't make some changes to the data model. It's actually just showing it as nothing right now, but these are all mostly strings, and it's actually searchable as well, so if I wanted to find me, look, I'm at the top. Okay, so I am a senior light switch developer. Yes. Okay, so there's me. If we click on me, now it's pulling down the rest of the data from the service, and now you can see I have publications, and I have had positions. I have worked places before Microsoft. Okay, so I work remotely, but the photo isn't showing up, and there's a couple of things we want to make changes to, like the website. These are things that are just brought down as binary and string. Right. So what we want to do is we kind of want to massage it a little bit. So what you can do for an external data source is you can't make schema changes to an external data source because it's external. You can't make changes to the fundamental schema. But what we can do is, say, for instance, this is a string. It's stored as a string. I can still choose compatible business types. Okay. So in this case, this email, I probably want to display it as an email address, right? And there's the photo. See, it came down as binary, but I know that's an image in there. A website should be a web address. I think that's about it. All right. So that's the sort of stuff you can change. So now, when we do this, go back to our expert detail screen. And actually, I don't want to show that either. But there now we have a photo, okay, and the website. Okay, so all, screens automatically change. So really what you're doing is in LightSwitch is modeling your data, and the screens are just going to do the right thing. Like if you remove a column while you're designing, it'll just automatically remove for the screens. So you don't have errors in the screen, basically. All right, so that looks better. The only other thing, let's see, let's start it up. So we'll do my skills again here and get the screen open. Okay, so now, I mean, we are talking to Azure here, so depending on your internet connection, a service can be very far away. So there's a couple performance things you can do. Look, the performance looks kind of slow now, you know. All right, so how can we, like, speed up performance of our data services when we're consuming external data services? Well, a couple of things we can do. See, it finally came. There's my photo now. Cool, it looks a little bit better. There's a couple of things we can do to speed this up. Okay, so one thing is on the view model of the screen. So let's go back to our skills detail. Okay, so here what we can do is fiddle around with how many should be coming down per page. So what LightSwitch is doing is always pulling down pages of data asynchronously. Okay, so it's not saying select star all rows, you know, anything like that. All right, so I could say, okay, you know what, just bring down 15 at a time, not 45. So that's one thing you can do. The other things you can do are on the data source itself. So for instance, in the case of experts, okay, the experts are searchable, but you might not want to have, you know, searchable across every single field, okay? So when you're performing a search, what it's going to do is it's going to create a query. It's going to say, or, you know, last name is this, or first name is this, or. By default, LightSwitch will always say all string properties are searchable. Okay, so you can either turn off the searchable aspect of the entity itself and none of the search boxes will ever show up in the UI anymore, or you can go in and say, you know what, I'm thinking, like, we wouldn't know the last name and first name of an expert. All you probably want to do is search on their title, for instance, you know, some senior developer or something. Okay, so that will help speed up the queries as well. All right, what about business rules? Okay, so we've got a data service, we're consuming a data service, we have a data service, a couple of them now, okay, built. Let's actually start implementing some business rules in here. One of the things we've got on our candidates is the candidate available or not, meaning are they, you know, available for a job. So when we show all the candidates, what I want to do is I only want to show the available candidates, unless you're a system administrator. If you're a system administrator, you can go ahead and see all of them, but if you're just a regular user, I don't want to show you that. It's just kind of extra crap. So what I'm going to do I'm going to go into write code. There's a write code hook in light switch, you know, on every designer. So these are the code hooks that allow you to write your business rules. So you have general methods that are executing in the save and update pipeline. So created, deleted, deleting, inserted, inserting, updating, valid. Okay, so you have a lot of different hooks in there. You can create your own classes on the middle tier and, you know, that kind of thing and integrate with that stuff too. But these are the hooks in which give you access into the data as it's being saved and queried. So what we want to do is we want to create a filter on our query. Is really what we want. Yes, it is C#. See, I told people I would have a C# demo and they freaked out. Okay, so I just have to remember how to write this filter, which I don't know, which I probably can do. All right, let's see. Hold on, I have my notes. If it was VB, it would be a lot easier for me, I have to admit. But yeah, so what we need to do is we need to check if I'm not a system administrator, this.application.user, okay, has permission, okay, permissions.securityadministration. If I'm not a security administrator, then what do I need one of these little curly things, don't I? Okay. Then what I want to do is I want to say, what, filter? This is a Lambda expression, right? It looks so lovely. With an arrow thingy. C dot is candidate available. Okay. Equal true. Oop, true. Okay. Don't freak me out. What did I do? Okay. No problem. Whew, made it. Okay. So what am I saying here? I'm just saying if I'm not a system administrator, please filter these candidates, right? Okay, otherwise it won't filter them. It'll show all of them. Now, in order to enable this, okay, to enable the permission system in LightSwitch, we're going to go into properties and we're going to go to access control. And now I'm going to say let's just use forms authentication in this example, okay? And there's the security administration is always in there, okay? That's the permission that's always in there. And then you can add new permissions and you can use them in code wherever you want inside of LightSwitch. Okay, so granted for debug means while I'm in a debug session, I have this permission or I don't. So you never have to log in when you're doing F5. Okay, I want to say no, I'm not a security administrator, so I want it to filter. So let's go ahead and start this up. Okay, and so when we look at all of our candidates, okay, there's only true. Okay, so we've got, maybe we'll go in here and we'll make Jay not available. He's my boss. He shouldn't be looking for a new job. this guy is good. He is good. All right, so now he's gone from the list when it refreshes. Okay, so that's basically the way you can actually do row level security in LightSwitch. You're basically doing security based filtering. Okay, so the key here. Let me change this to a web application so that I can get at the URL. The key is that this is going to run, this rule is going to run no matter what, right? And what client is hitting the service. Okay, that's the point. Okay, so not just the Silverlight client here, but let's go back over here and SVC. Actually, before I hit it, let me hit a breakpoint so you can actually see it. Believe me. Okay, now candidates, let's pull them up. There it goes, okay? So, believe me, if that didn't work, that would be bad. Okay, so now we only have the filtering. We have the candidates that are only available, okay? Any questions so far? It's a simple business rule, but it demos the point there. Okay, so let's, what time? 30 minutes, okay, cool. Let's show a couple things in Fiddler here, if I can. So I mentioned, by default, a data service is always going to return a feed here, But it, you can, what's actually happening, what LightSwitch is using is JSON. It's actually using JSON Lite now. But what we're going to do is just go into the composer here. Just do this. Okay, by default, like I said, you're going to get the feed. But if you want JSON, just do this. Okay, so it just put it in the header, in the request header, accept JSON. All right. So let me execute that. Oh, we got to see the business rule still fires. Now when we look at this inspector and select that, you'll see now it's all JSON. Is it JSON? Wait, should have been. Hold on. Did it not execute? Maybe it didn't like where I put that. I don't know. Is it in? Oh, there it's kind of, it finally is here. No, it's, it should have executed. Oh, I love that. Is it my breakpoint? I mean, I continue the breakpoint though. All right, take this off then. There. Okay, that's JSON Lite. Okay, so there's your JSON, all right? So there, that's the two different types of return types that come back. Okay, so JSON is more appropriate probably if you're doing web development. Okay, all right, so it's just your choice. So now what we want to do is add an additional client to this app. So let's actually stop this. Okay. Let's add a new client. Add client. Okay, now what I'm doing right here now is not in the RTM version of Visual Studio 2012. You need to install the update to CTP4 that came out on Monday. All right, so I'm just going to add an HTML client. And in order to do that, I'm actually going to upgrade the application from version 2 to version 3. Okay, so we're going to create just a, I don't know, like to create a screen that browses experts or something like that, or browses our candidates. And we're basically going to create a mobile application, just a mini mobile application. Was anybody in my class yesterday on building mobile apps? A few of you? Okay. So I'm not going to go crazy on this. I'm just going to build a quickie client here to demonstrate that we're going to be using the same business rules and everything. Okay, so we've got a client node now, HTML client. So let's go ahead and add a browse screen, call it home. And let's just add the candidates. Okay, so browse through the candidates. And I'm going to make this, you know, just a tile list to look a little bit better. And use the name and let's see, maybe their website and the photo. How about that? I don't, something like that. All right, let's go ahead and just start it up. Okay, so there's some people have pictures, some don't. Okay, so, you know, we could actually create some edit screens. You want to just, like, edit this? We could actually edit this if we want the data. Just add one more screen. Actually, let's do it this way. It's a little easier. When I click on somebody, when I tap somebody, okay, it's a tap action, I'm going to go ahead and let's do a view. Let's edit. I don't care. You want to edit or view? It doesn't matter. Let's view. Okay, so view the details and, you know, maybe we look at the skills. Okay, so let's also do this on the home screen. Let's create a little filter, actually. Let's do this. Let's go back to the candidates and add a query. Find candidate. Okay, so you're going to add a filter, maybe where the candidate's, what do we want to do? Candidate's name, maybe. Is maybe contains, looking for, you know, a new parameter, something like that. We can do that. Actually, make it optional. Okay, and then maybe what we'll do is go back down to the view the candidates, the home screen. And we'll change this source to the query I just created, find, and that will create a little parameter here. And so let's create a little pop-up called filter. And just put the name down there. And candidate name. So let's just do candidate name. It's a little redundant. Okay. And then to execute the little pop-up, so, like, you know, so we can do the filtering, let's just show pop-up filter. Yeah, that sounds good. Show filter. And then, of course, I want to actually have a filter. Okay. All right. That's good. That's a good enough client. Okay, so show filter. Now I could just say, you know, candidate Massey. Okay, there I am. All right, so a little filtering. So what's going on here? It's the same thing. I weirdly wish that Fiddler was working here, but it's the same idea. So the OData service is still being used, and it's still what you would expect. Oh yeah, and actually I did this too. Okay, so what's happening is the HTML client is calling get the candidate one, number one, or whatever I was at that point, and now it's reviewing the data. Same way the Silverlight client is working. Okay, like that's a good picture of me actually, very young, looks good. Okay, so there's your multiple clients using the same business rules. Okay, so I didn't see Jay in the list either, right? When you go to the home screen, Jay's still gone. Okay, Jay's would be around here. Okay, so these are just the available candidates. Okay, so let's start talking a little bit about some of the query expressions that are going on. I actually want to put this back over in Firefox because that seems to be working. Oops, I copied the wrong thing, sorry. Here we go. Copy, Control-C, there we go. All right, put you over here. Okay, so hopefully that we can see that, find candidates. Okay, so there's the find candidate. Okay, and here's the query, here's the URI convention is really what it is, but that's what's translated from our query expression. So it's saying, skip 45, top 45. And then it'll say, you know, that's 45. The 45 is the paging that you can control, remember? Okay, so that's calling find candidate. So that's a query. So queries are also exposed, as you create queries are also exposed on your data service endpoint as well. Okay, so that's what it's doing here. When I go, let's actually use the application. When I click on Beth, okay, should have pulled it up. I guess not. I don't understand what's happening. So, but anyways, pulled up Beth, it should have called candidate one. All right. I apologize for that not working. So anyways, just trust me. At least, trust me. Okay, so let's do this. All right, we got the HTML kind of working there. Now what I want to do is add another query. Let's do it for find, okay, actually, let's just modify this. Instead of finding by name, like I said, you probably don't know your name. Let's do the minimum salary required. Okay, minimum salary should be, you know, less than or equal to this parameter. Okay, we'll take this one out. Okay, and make it optional. Okay, so now we're going to try and find candidates based on our salary requirements. I think that it'll be probably a little bit better. Go back down to here. Now we've got this we don't need. Let's change the query back. There, minimum salary required. We'll put it over here. It's a little bit different. Candidate minimum salary required. Now let's try this. All right, so I want to find people that are like $80,000 or less. There we go. I'm not in the list. Apparently, I'm expensive. Okay, but Steve's there, and so these are all our candidates are 80,000 or less. All right, so what I want to do now is what if I wanted to visualize this more in a pie chart? I want to see like, okay, I've got all these candidates. I want to see the breakdown of their salary ranges. All right, that might be a little bit nicer to show in a chart. Okay, so what we're going to do is a little bit different. We're going to switch gears. Instead of using OData, I want to use the web API. Okay, so that's also possible to do with LightSwitch as well. So you're still going to be creating this on top of your data service, but you're going to just expose the data in a different way via web API. The reason why we're going to do that is because if you noticed, our data services, they're exposing the entities as we've modeled them, right? And they're exposing the full entity. So I've got photos in there, and you know, you might not want the full entity. For instance, when we create a pie chart or a dashboard, we're going to only want to, you know, return maybe an aggregate of all of the salaries. Doesn't actually, it's not realized as an entity. It's realized as just a result set, right? Okay, so with OData, you could write your own service methods and just return that as well. But what I want to try is the cool web API. I want to show web API. Who's heard of web API? Okay, cool. So you guys have probably learned a lot about it, you know, at Tech Days too. So let's just create a web API method that can interact with our HTML client. Actually, we could interact with our Silverlight client. It doesn't matter. Let's expose some aggregate of data because we're going to need to figure out the breakdown of salaries. So what I'm going to do is I'm flip to file view. Okay, so we're going to go into the server. You'll notice, like, so I've been doing logical view, and just as a side note, LightSwitch is just a solution at the end of the day with multiple projects inside. So when you flip to file view, it looks more like probably more normal to a pro developer inside Visual Studio. So here's the server. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to add a new folder called reports. Okay, so we're going to do that, and then we're going to need to add a global application class, global ASX. Okay, because what we're going to need to do is write a little code I'll have to look at. Okay, we're going to need to go in here. We're going to need using a system.web.routing. And system.web.http. Okay, awesome. Okay, there we go. No? Fix? Why are you not in here? What's that? System web routing and system web HTTP. Why not? Is it already in there? Where's my reference? Okay, fine. Add a ref. Why don't you just fix it? No, it's. Let's see. Where's my references? System web. System web's in there. Okay. System web routing, maybe. Add a reference. System.web. It should be in system.web routing, maybe. I didn't think I had to do that. I thought it was already in. Shoot. I thought I had my service references in here. I apologize. System.web. Where is. Would it, it's in web. System.web is already in there. All right. Okay. Let's just forget it and see if it will still work. All right, so we really just need, we need to get this route table, so that's my thing. We need to tell the API how to work. R-U-T table. There's a route table, that's good. Route table, routes. Okay. Map. HTTP route. I see, that's the thing, that's what I need. Yeah, okay. Maybe you could find it? No? Okay, so let me go back to my notes here. Maybe system routing and system web HTTP. See, that's the thing. Okay, awesome. That's why I need this. But still not happy with it. Damn it. Okay, so where would it be? Anybody? Yeah, system. It's system.web. Web.http. Anybody want to know where that is? Yes, that would be great. Apparently, I've been here before. Yeah, just apparently I have been here before. Where is the namespace? Where is the system web HTTP namespace? That's great. Can you tell me what? Tell me what reference is in assembly. It's starting to get hot in here. Is it getting hot in here? Starting to get really hot in here. System.web.http. I'm really not sure why this isn't going to work, but I really kind of. System web HTTP DLL. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought it was. And so, yeah, I mean, I to add the reference system.web.http. Yeah, it is. Oh, that's what happened? All right. Am I targeting? I'm targeting 4. That's not right. Okay, what happened? Oh, I pulled down the latest bits before I walked out the door, but when I have the HTML client, it should have upgraded it. All right. This worked. All right, that's okay. I have a working one. Okay, that's over. I debug for 2 minutes, and then we open the one that actually works. All right, I'll walk you through it. When I upgraded to V3, that's when it should migrate to 4.5. Okay, so the key is with Lightswitch V2, you can't do anything with web API and the server context unless you upgrade to V3, which is what happens when I add the HTML client. I'm not sure what happened on that particular thing, but this one, I swear to God, does work. Okay, it's got a client and an HTML client, and it's basically the same thing we were working on. If we go look at the server side, it's cooling off a little bit now. okay, I'm not crazy, see? All right, it was there. Okay, so what we're doing here is we're now adding basically the route. So when we're going to request a report, it knows how to go find it. Okay, it's going to say we need to add a controller now. So we're going to add a controller for our candidates. All right, so that's basically where it's going into the reports. Okay, so I've added a controller for candidates. Candidates controller, and all I'm doing here is I'm grouping by this minimum salary required. I'm doing an aggregate here. And so I'm counting how many people have the $80,000 range, the 690, 100. So we're going to see a breakdown of candidate salaries. All right. Hopefully I saved myself on that demo. Okay, so you always have a done one. That's the first thing when it comes to and I think actually why it messed up is because I'm being recorded. So there's a direct relationship to the recording and the demos working, usually. So yeah, we'll edit it. That's good. Okay, so the other thing we're going to need to add, so we've got the controller now. This is on the server side. So one of the keys here, the way this is actually working, is we're working against our application data model. So you'll see that this data workspace I had mentioned, okay, before in the architecture diagram, this actually gets at our application data and expert data. So these are the service endpoints that we can work with. Okay, it's actually not even a service endpoint at this point. This is just the data context itself because we're on the server. So if we could actually go ahead and, you know, expose this as any type of protocol that we wanted. We could do an OData service, but in this case, we're doing a web API. Okay, so the application data dot, and then you'll see all of your entities in here. So we got candidates, we got companies. Okay, so I'm just using candidates. Okay, so I'm creating just a link query here. All right, and the key is just to execute the results, okay, and return that. So it's going to return the objects. It's going to return your basically your anonymous type, so the key, that's the salary and the count. Okay, so salary and count. All right, so then on the client side, okay, so we're going to go back to the logical view. On the client side, I've got this is our home screen, okay, browse candidates, it's the same thing. I'm showing, in this case, I'm showing the candidate name, the photo, and the minimum salary required so we can see that. And I've added a custom control, Okay, so I just basically said, write, you know, add a custom control, new custom control. So I've done that, and I've just called it salary breakdown. Now, when we take a look at the rendering code for this, what I'm doing is I'm using a chart, and I just happened to pick my favorite one. I went actually and just used NuGet on the HTML client. I went and managed NuGet, and I've got, what did I do? I used Widgmo, I think. Okay, so I've got that Widgmo complete includes, you know, pie charts and all kinds of nice stuff. Nice controls, nice JavaScript HTML5 controls. Okay, so that's what I'm using. I just grabbed that in NuGet, made some references, okay, added some references to the CSS that is necessary for Widgmo right here, and the JavaScript that's needed, okay, the libraries that's needed. So now I can use those libraries. It's actually pretty easy at the end of the day. You just write a little bit of code here to set up your pie chart. Okay, so here's the getting of that data. Okay, it's calling that the link query, and it's sticking that data into this pie chart. Okay, so that's really it. So it ends up being very easy to work with it in this manner. Okay, just getting it as JSON and plugging it in. A lot of control. That's why when you're doing JavaScript development, it's a lot easier to work with JSON. Okay, so I didn't have to write any of that. Actually, that's cool because I don't really like writing JavaScript code anyways. But let's go ahead and run it. Okay, so there's our salary breakdown. So we have most people want $80,000 or in the $80,000 range here. Okay, so I'm pricey, basically. All right, so that's an example of using web API on the server side. Okay, so similar things we're doing. We're manipulating data and we're returning data, but in different ways. Okay, so OData is the standard that we're using to get this list of data, but keep in mind that you can create web API methods as well on the server. Okay, so that it's still REST. Okay, so we've been working with an Azure service, but now we're ready to deploy our Azure service. So let's go here and go to deploy it. So I'm going to go into back to logical view and go ahead and publish. Before I publish, set this to release. Go ahead and publish. All right, so here's where I mentioned you could just say, just deploy the service only. I want to deploy the complete application. Okay, so where do you want to deploy it to? Okay, so we're going to stick it in Azure. You could also, of course, host it in your own server. Okay, so I've already downloaded my credential information, so I've got a subscription called Demo Projects. So let's go take a look at my subscription over here. Well, let's go ahead and actually create a new website. So I'm going to create a new website. Okay, and let's call it like cool. I don't know. Tech Days? Hey, nobody used Tech Days. All right. And I need a database. So let's go ahead and create a new SQL database. And choose a server. I hope I remember the password. There we go. Okay, that just takes a couple seconds to create it. All right, so there we go. It's still creating. Do-do-do. Okay, there we go. Now we can go back. Oh, now I want to go into actually the database here and just click on the Manage button. And what that will do is we'll add a firewall rule because my IP address is different here up on stage. So we'll add a firewall rule so that I can actually communicate with SQL Azure. So yes, add that firewall rule. Thank you. Okay, now I don't actually really want to manage the database, but that's an easy way to get it to add that rule for you. So now we're going to go in here. And now it is reading that subscription information. It says, do you want a cloud service or website? Let's just do the website. And so now it's getting all the list of Azure websites from Azure. Okay, so where do you want to host it? There's Tech Days right there. Okay, so HTTPS, I'm going to say no, it's not required, but technically it's very best practice to use HTTPS, especially when you're throwing data, sensitive data down the wire. Okay, we'll just leave it like this. But and then everything is set up here. That's the database. All right, so now we can go ahead and publish. So this is going to probably take a couple minutes. That's okay. While it's publishing, I want to show you a little Windows 8 client. Okay, so it's adding, directing, all that. Let's open up this solution. Okay, so I mentioned, you know, LightSwitch helps you produce desktop and mobile applications. But what if you want a rich native application? In this case, I want a Windows 8 application. I want a cool Metro style, whatever it is, Windows Store style app. So I've got this already set up. It's a XAML C# based Windows 8 app. And I'm going to add a service reference. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to work with the OData service. Okay, so let me check real quick. Publishing the database. I don't know. I had login failed. Oh well. All right. It's all right. I have another one running. I always have backups. Okay, my login must have not been correct. That's okay. That's fine. So we'll go over here. I've got this one running. It's exactly the same. It's just already deployed. Let's get this going. Okay, so kind of a dark one, but that's okay. All right, so this service is the same. I just made it it's a different color, but here are all our candidates and that kind of stuff. All right, so what I'm going to do, though, I want to basically use application data.svc. All right, so that's the service that's in Azure that we just deployed, right? All right. Okay, so let's go. Okay, so we've got, this is going to, I'll just name this JC, Job Candidate Tracker Service. Okay, so this is going to just create the proxy for all of our entities. And now I'm just going to go into, I had a little settings just for our view models. So, actually, it's already set. Okay, good. All right. And so if we want to just take a quick peek, I don't want to really get too detailed in what this does, but it's really just going to pull up the list of candidates. Okay, so, and it actually, I think I did actually rotation and that kind of stuff. So, if, you know, we look at the XAML, that's a job candidate tracker. It's going to just kind of look at all the candidates. All right, so actually it's pulling live data too down. There it is. Live data down. All right, so let's go ahead and run it. Okay, so if I had a touchscreen, I don't have a touch monitor here, but so there we go. I would scroll across here, but I don't have a monitor. It's okay. Let's click on Andy, and I actually made this updatable. Okay, so I wonder if Fiddler got that one. Storage, no, not really. But there's the getting of the service. But at any rate, go back. If we go back, it'll pull up, it'll refresh the list. And if we go back into Andy, you'll see that it's an updatable service in this case. Okay, so it's just using OData service, updatable service. Okay, so I only have a couple minutes left, but I was going to show an Excel demo. We could pull the data into Excel, and we could do like a lot of analysis, like BI stuff. One of the cool things about OData is if you have databases that a lot of users want access to all the time, and you're like, heck no, you know, you wouldn't want to do that, you could actually expose the data in a safer way, in a more secure way, in a smarter way, using OData services. And then end users could just use things like Excel to report on that OData. Even reporting services in SQL Server can serve those reports as OData sets. Okay, so you can use reporting services on your back end and serve those up as OData, and then users can do additional processing on it. Or you can build your own clients, okay? Or you can use LightSwitch, which I hope you will, you know, to create clients, all right? So are there any questions about OData? I apologize for the demo hiccup, but I hope we got through it. Any questions at all? What are your, okay, the people that are sitting here and never seen LightSwitch before, Did you like what you see just with the speed at which you created the services? Okay. So as we can really use Lightswitch to aggregate these data sources, and you know, at the end of the day, you really don't care how the service is built, that it's built. Okay. So it's gonna make sure that all your business rules are running, and all your security is in place, and you're good to go. So let's go back to the last couple slides. I wanted to just leave you with a couple resources. So if you don't remember anything, please remember the Developer Center, msdn.com/lightswitch. That will get you started on a lot of the guts of what's going on inside of Lightswitch and how do I videos and resources and that sort of thing. You can also get a link to the HTML client. If you haven't installed the update to CTP4, which was released on Monday, I encourage you to. There's a lot of other features besides just HTML client for Lightswitch in there. Okay, so, and if you're interested, join the community. It's growing. It's actually kind of caught on wildfire lately because of the HTML. And SharePoint. You know, we've got a lot of SharePoint community kind of gravitating towards Lightswitch as well. So I hope that you enjoyed yourself, and thanks for coming. If you guys need any cards or whatever, you want to ask me any additional questions, you come on up and I'll give you a card.